There was a realtor showing homes to different families. A family from out of town was looking at the home that the realtor was showing, and they didn't like anything. Everything was kind of, I don't like this, I don't like that. They said to the realtor, "We're just curious. What are the people like in this town?" The realtor said, "Well, just curious. What are the people like in the town that you came from?" "Oh, the people there were judgmental, and they were busybodies, and they were gossips, and they just weren't very good people." The realtor said, "Well, unfortunately, you're probably going to find the people in this town are just not very good people either." The next day, the realtor had another family from out of town, and they were delightful, and they had all of these great things to say. The family was curious, and they asked, "What are the people like in this town?" The realtor said back, "I'm curious. What are the people like in the town you came from?" "Oh," they smiled, They were actually great people. We had so many great friends, and they were really the salt of the earth and very good quality people." The realtor looked back and said, "Well, I've got good news for you. Chances are you're going to discover the people in this town are just like the ones in the town you left." The moral of the story was simple. If you want to complain and find things to complain about, if you want to be bitter, critical, negative, you don't have to look far to find it. However, the opposite is also true. If you want to look for something to praise and be positive, then it's easy to find. We're looking at these things that stand in our way that prohibit us from growing. And last week we started this I Quit sermon series, these things that we must, and I don't mind using that word, we must give up if we're going to grow. And last week we started in we'll offend some people. We've got to give up making excuses. We do. And well, anyone take a shot at what we're going to talk about quitting today? Complaining. Now, I have to be careful with this because I'm a good complainer. I am. I'm very good at it. I can get the sours and the negatives just like everybody else. And I also have to realize that if we decide that we're actually going to do exactly what we said we were going to do, and we're going to take these I Quit sermons and we're going to start going on and we're going to instantly apply them, then there are going to be some people that are going to have to find some new ministries, because we're going to put your old one out of business. And you know what ministry I'm talking about, right? The one where every mistake is pointed, not only pointed out, but it's emphasized. The one where you constantly tell people what you think you do and you don't like. The one where it has to go your way and you're ultra-compelled to tell everybody when it doesn't. Yeah, that ministry, we have to quit. You absolutely, positively cannot grow in a relationship if that's the way that you're going to handle it. Now, this does not mean that we don't want to improve process. And it does not mean that I cannot express concern over things. What's the difference between complaining and concerning? We'll get to that in just a moment. But I just want to start you off with this little tidbit. If your statements start out, "I think, I feel, I believe, I want," and you have no consideration of the thoughts, feelings, and beliefs of others, you're probably headed down the wrong path. You see, when I look at those, all of those ones in red, except for the word "no," start off with a single word. "I." And that's really the essence of complaining. Now, you're probably wondering, what on earth does this have to do with the duck song? And why are there so many little ducks sitting around staring at me today? And here's the answer. Absolutely, positively, nothing. The song is completely pointless. As a matter of fact, I went out on YouTube purposely looking for the most annoying and obnoxious song that I could show in church just to show you at the start of this video, at the start of the sermon. You know why I did so? I'm making a shortcut. If you're looking for something to complain about today, there you have it. You can go home and you can complain about the duck song and how obnoxious it was. You can complain about all the little yellow ducks staring at you. You don't have to look hard. I'm giving you something to complain about. Of course, if you go home today and the topic of discussion is the duck song and the duck,
might I suggest that you sign back online and you re-listen to the sermon, because you absolutely, positively, 100% missed the point. You see, this idea of I quit complaining means that we have to be willing to quit. Now, I want to make sure we get some terms correct, because this is important. Because the best way to start by defining complaining is to define what complaining is not. And we have some other terms that sometimes when these terms are being used, we call it complaining, but it's not. You need to understand these are important terms. We have this term called accountability. And you know what? Accountability is when you commit to do something. You said you were going to do something. You gave your word. You gave your promise. You said, this is what I agreed to. And then you don't fulfill, and then the person that you made the agreement to comes back and approaches you, they're not complaining. That's called accountability and responsibility. And just so you know, the Bible has absolutely, positively, no problem with these concepts of accountability and responsibility. As a matter of fact, if we had a little more accountability and responsibility, guess what? Our marriages would be stronger. Our kids would be doing better than what we're giving them to deal with. Our churches would be doing better. Our government would be doing better. The problem is when we take out accountability and responsibility and we just want to call it complaining, then we diminish exactly what God said we're supposed to be doing. Accountability and responsibility is what helps people grow, does it not? I mean, if I can do whatever I want and there's never a negative consequence for it, then I never have a reason to change. The other word that we need to talk about is we need to talk about this word correction. Now, a lot of times we think correction is complaining, but it's not. You do realize that when Paul wrote to Timothy, he said that the very reason God's word was given, one of it is for the correction and rebuking of God's people. The idea that God put rules out there and God put things out there that he wants us to do, and when we say, I'm going to live in this relationship, I'm going to surrender to this relationship that God gave me, I'm going to do that, and then we don't, then you know what? Those in our church body, they absolutely know that they have the responsibility to come to you and say, do you know what you're doing? Do you know that you're not living this way? Do you know how that's going to damage our body? Do you know what you're doing is wrong? That's not a complaint. That's correction. The other word is misunderstanding. And this happens a lot. Benjamin and I have been having these interesting little conversations where he likes to tell me I implied something. And my immediate answer is, no, I didn't. You inferred it. Now, it doesn't matter whether I implied or I inferred. You understand what's happening. There's a communication gap. I said something, and the way that I said it, he took it one way, I meant it another way, and so all of a sudden we have a disagreement between us, and you know what? Complaining starts. Misunderstandings are going to happen. I mean, they just do. We have communication gaps between age ranges. We have communication gaps between genders. We have communication gaps everywhere. And sometimes we just need to understand something just got misunderstood. And just because I come to you and say I don't understand or I don't agree does not mean necessarily that I'm registering a complaint. It just means that something needs a little clarification. We'll come back and we'll dive into those words a little bit better as we connect into this idea of complaining. But let's talk about the idea of complaining, because the Bible is very stern about it. Titus chapter 3, verse 10 says, warn a divisive person once, and then warn them a second time, and after that have nothing to do with them. Wow. They probably think, have we heard that here recently? Yes. This was the same verse that we kind of used when we talked about divisive people when we were over in the zoo and we were going through and we looked at the hyena. We had this same verse up on the screen. It's an important verse because we need to understand how this connects to the idea of complaining. You see, complaining is all about being divisive. Really, it is. Complaining is nothing to do except for those things that which make us divisive, because the goal of the complainer is not to have it done God's way, but theirs. Now you think about that for a second. Their goal is not the betterment of the body. Their goal is not the betterment of the relationship. Their goal is to get things the way that they want them. They seek to stir up emotions. You know one good way you can tell that it's a complainer? They never want to do it in private.
They want to catch you at the moment where they have an audience where they can make their opinion and maybe some people can overhear it and people can see what's going on, because they're not interested in resolving an issue. They're just interested in stating their displeasure so they can gain allies, so that they can then have reinforcement, so that they don't have to surrender, so that we can just keep going down the same cycle. And a lot of times, you know what we call this? Church people being church people. But you know what? That's not church people being church people. That's church people doing nothing but complaining. Now, the word complain, just so you have a definition so that you can take it home and say, well, what did you mean by it? It means to express dissatisfaction or annoyance about something or somebody. Now, that is straight out of Webster's Dictionary, the online version. So if they make it different than the old print versions, I'm sorry, I don't have a print dictionary. I have the online version. So, again, if you wish to complain about the definition, you missed the point. But I do want to pull this definition apart and take a really hard look at it, because the first word in it is to express. And that's important. It's an outward display. Now, most of the time, it's a verbal thing. You know, you're going to go up, and we have little phrases that we use. I'm going to give a person a piece of my mind. I'm going to put them in their place. You realize that is the start of the word complain. If that is your intention, it's a complaint. It's not accountability. It's not correction. It's not misunderstanding. You're just going to complain about it. Now, when I say it's verbal, that's not the only way it happens. There can be facial expressions, grimaces, eye rolls, stern looks, frowns. The point is you're doing it in such a way to draw attention to your displeasure. There's body language. You know, the way that you sit, the way that you do. I want to share a story with you. When we were making the transition from true traditional service to more of a blended service in the church we came from, I just want to let you know something. We had a gentleman that thought we were doing the wrong thing. And so you know what he did during worship service? He moves kind of to the front, and whenever we would sing a hymn, he would sing nice and loud, and every time it was a contemporary, that's how he did. He sat there with his arms crossed, sour look on his face. Was he complaining? Absolutely. See, sometimes your complaining is just alternate actions. Well, I don't agree with what you're doing. I don't like the way you're doing it. And well, I'm not going to say anything because I'd never do that. But you know what? I'm going to show you while you're doing that, I'm going to do something else. I'm not going to participate. I'm going to show my complaint by finding something else to do to show you that, you know what? I'm going to hold on to what I'm doing. And you realize what this is doing, right? You can see this. It begins to pull the body apart. It begins to divide the body. And we spend more time trying to please the complainers than we do trying to please God. See, no matter how you do it, the essence of what you're doing, well, you don't like something, and you're going to let everybody else know. And you realize what you're doing with that, right? You're taking the attention off of God, and who are you trying to draw the attention to? Yourself. Because that is the essence of what a complaint is. Now, when you express, you are expressing dissatisfaction. And when you express dissatisfaction, you've got to get it. It's all about this word called expectations. Now, I just want to let you know something. Expectations is the reason we get accountability, correction, and misunderstanding brought into this word complaint. You do realize accountability has expectations with it. If I hold you accountable, the expectations were either those that were stated or agreed upon through something that we did together. You know, so it's something that we agreed upon. This is the standard. This is what we're going to try to do. And so if you don't live up to that and I come back, that's not a complaint. That is accountability. But again, it is expectations, but they are our expectations and not one individual's expectations. Correction, the expectation is a stated factual thing. And so I'm not giving you my opinion. I am giving you what God's Word said. I am giving you the facts of the case. And so you know what? That's not complaint. The expectation is just the fact that, you know what? This is what God's Word says. A misunderstanding? Well, same thing. There were expectations. It's kind of a misinformation thing. And again, maybe sometimes if we would stop verbalizing those and go to one another in love, as the Bible says, you know what? I find 90% of misunderstandings could have just been resolved in the first 24 hours if we had just taken a moment to think it through and find out what is going on. So how something was done was not met. That's the first thing that people complain about. Well, you know, I was expecting this to follow this and this to follow that, and you did it out of order, and so now I'm upset or I'm dissatisfied with the results. So I'm going to tell you all about it. What was to be done was not met. You had an expectation that, you know what, this is how it was supposed to be done, and this is what was supposed to be done, and you know what, it was not done the way that we always did it. It was not done the way that I thought it should be done, so you know what, once again, I'm going to come to you and let you know my expectations were not met. When something was done, that expectation was not met. Well, I thought you should do it by this time. Now remember, accountability versus complaint. It wasn't an agreed upon time frame. I just had an expectation. We never discussed it. We never talked about it. But you know what? I had an expectation. It wasn't met. So now I'm just going to let everybody know this is exactly how I think things should be done. See, this idea between a complaint and a concern. A complaint, the only reason you're expressing is your expectations. Your expectations, what you wanted to be done. Not what was agreed upon. Not what God's Word said. Just how you thought things were supposed to be. A concern is expressed for the purpose that there could be consequences beyond you. You see, it isn't just about me, it's about the relationship. It's about the body. It's about the other people. I've got to find the concern because you know what? If we continue to do this, did you realize you were doing this and it caused this negative impact? You know what? Sometimes you do things and you don't think every impact is out there. There's nothing wrong with coming and saying, did you think about this process? No. But just to say I don't like it, that's not the way that we're supposed to be doing things in the church. Remember? One body. It's interesting, a few weeks ago we prayed for the body at Parkview Christian Church, and we read all of these verses about the body, and what we kept coming back to is there are many parts, one body. Many pieces, one purpose. See, when you complain, you are annoyed. Now, I can be an extremely annoying person. I completely understand that, but complaints are issues when something was done offends you. Isn't that when we used to do it? I mean, I was going to the restaurant and I was expected to be waited on within the first 3 minutes and they took 4.8 minutes, so I'm going to let them know. I was expecting this and I got that. See, I'm offended. But the first thing you should begin to ask yourself is, why are you offended? Why did it offend you? Did it offend you because you made you feel guilty? So somebody said something, or we did something, we talked a certain way, and deep down inside you realize there's something wrong and I've got guilt issues. So rather than deal with the guilt, what do I do? I began to complain. And I say, you know what? I'll show you, and we're going to see if we can change it that way. Maybe you're offended because it was different. Well, you know, I expected it to be this way, and it was a little bit different, and the little different just didn't go the way that I wanted to go, and so now I'm going to let you know, you need to go back to doing it the way that I liked.
Different is not a valid reason to complain. I mean, I can't do everything always the same way. We talked about this when we were going back through this famous verse, that there's no way we can do everything the same way that the early church did it. We don't. And so things have been changing in churches like forever. And they will continue to change. Invalid because you did not like it? You know what? Did God like it? You get it, right? Did God like what we did? Well, I don't know. I never asked him. Okay, maybe that's a good starting point. Did God like it? If not, you know what? You're just complaining because you didn't like what was done. And not everything is always going to please you. Not everything always pleases me. Because you know what? It's not about pleasing me. See, the only valid reason that you really should be able to complain is if you found it insulting. That means you were spoken to or treated to disrespectfully, or there's some kind of abuse.
I mean, if that is happening, and if what we're doing is taking things out of context, if what we're doing is causing some kind of abuse of God's word, we're doing something that is going to cause somebody to stumble and fall, then absolutely, step forward. But again, you do realize that's not a complaint. Now we're back into this word called correction. You see the difference?
It's so very, very, very subtle. But the reality is that the idea of complaining, it's all about being selfish. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather in, here's a word that we've talked about quite a bit this year. Rather in humility, valuing others above yourself. Now, I read that and I have a hard time with this because I like things done my way. I do. They pay me to have things done my way at Lexus. I like things to be orderly and neat and tidy and in a process. But you know what? This idea that I'm supposed to be humble. Remember I told you this ties back to those four choices, and you do remember that was one of the choices that we had to make when we were talking about surrender over control. I'm going to surrender. I have to have a little humility in what I'm doing. Interesting enough, we crossed this word when we went through 40 days of prayer. We had an entire week where we talked about the idea of humbling ourselves in the sight of the Lord. Right about when we were talking about healing the body. You get it? See, when I become selfish and self-centered, the complaints are easy. Now, just so you know, there is a complaint department. And everybody's like, cool! I didn't know the church had a complaint department. Where is it? Because I got about 100 things I want to write down that all the things that are wrong. Absolutely. Let me give you the address of the complaint department. The address of the complaint department is none other than Numbers chapter 14, verses 46 through 27. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, how long will this wicked community grumble against me? I have heard the complaints of these grumbling Israelites. Let that verse kind of sink for a second, because you got to understand the story. The Israelites were out in the wilderness and they were wandering about, and you got to remember that this is the same group who God had kept their clothes from wearing out so they didn't have to go shopping. God had fed them miraculously from the sky with this stuff called manna. God had given them water from the rock, quail that flew by, and now something else is bothering them, and guess what they're doing? They're going and they're complaining. And who is their target? Well, they think Moses and Aaron, who are the leaders of the Israelites. So they're going to Moses and Aaron, and they're letting them have it. But I want you to see how God took their complaint. Did God see them as complaining to Moses and Aaron? No. Who did God say they were complaining against? Me. God. God said, I see what you're doing, and you're not paying attention to all the things I've done for you. You're not paying attention to the fact that your eyes are supposed to be focused on me. You're not paying attention to any of that. You're just paying attention to, you know what? God, I'm tired of manna. Did you put a little salt on it? Does it come in different flavors? I mean, how can you eat the same thing for breakfast, lunch, and dinner? I call those things Cheerios, because I could probably eat those for breakfast, lunch, and dinner all the time. Just give me a box of Cheerios, I could be happy. Box of Cheerios, gallon of milk, I could be good. But really, God had done everything for them, and they are complaining about things that were not done or things that they did not like. And interesting enough, you know how when you call a customer service department, you want an immediate response? You want them to do something about your complaint? Oh, God had a response. God has a response when we take a look at Numbers chapter 11, verses 1 through 2, another complaining episode, and this is what God did. Now the people complained about their hardships. Oh, boo-hoo. God's taking care of you? And life is hard? Did they forget where they began? They began as slaves, making bricks and stomping in the mud all day long out in the heat of the day. Now they complained about their hardships and the hearing of and in the hearing of the Lord. And when he heard them, his anger was aroused. Do you ever think about God being angry? It says that whining, complaining people that are claiming to follow God but just complain all the time, it says it aroused his anger. Then fire from the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. Do you think sometimes our complaining is consuming us? We just kind of build things inward and we just kind of consume the outer edges because you know what? We just want to keep it the way we like it. We just want to keep it comfortable. See, this idea of complaint, Paul talks about it, and he gives us some good verses in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. He talks about it this way. Do not let unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that they may benefit from those who listen. See, Paul gives this great little, we'll call it an outline, some to-dos, some things to consider. Before I express myself, maybe here are some questions that I need to ask. Is it wholesome? Now, if you're not familiar with that word wholesome, that means it's conducive or ability to help you grow. It's going to make you healthy. So is what I'm about to say going to cause the body to become healthier and grow, or is it going to just turn the focus on me? When you come, are you suggesting or are you demanding? Are you coming to with your complaint, that thing that you don't like, that thing that you want changed? Are you coming and you're demanding an instant change? Or are you just making a suggestion saying, you know what, maybe you want to think about some of the other things? Does it promote good health or displeasure? Are you trying to be there to get healthy, or are you just there because you know what? I am unhappy. You know the amazing thing I found about complaining people? They're never complaining about what they're complaining about. They're complaining about the fact that they're unhappy in their life, and they're coming to you with the intention of making of you to make them happy. And you know what happens? You can't make them happy. Because the second I make that happy, then they're going to find the next thing that they're unhappy about, and that's going to be the next complaint. And you know what? I can find myself on this same treadmill. Make me happy. Do the things that make me happy. I can find myself going on this path, but you understand, it's not just about expressing your displeasure. Are you actually going to promote some health in the body? Are you seeking well-being? Is what you're suggesting, what you're complaining, what you're bringing for, are you seeking improvement? Or are you just trying to keep things the way that they've always been because you want to be comfortable? Is what you're going to do helpful or hurtful? That's a big one. I think a lot of times if we would evaluate, if I would evaluate some of the things I say, am I doing this to hurt somebody? Or am I doing it because I think if it doesn't change, something's going to get hurt? Am I building up or tearing down? Am I becoming a roadblock or a road grader? You understand the difference, right? A roadblock means you're trying to stop it. A road grader means that, you know what, let me help push it. Let me just make sure we get it going in the right direction. Is what I'm talking about, is it beneficial or relevant? Now, you're probably thinking, Barry, nobody gets all this right. Yeah, I know. I'm telling you, I struggle with this as much as everybody else. I can have a sour disposition quite often. I understand exactly how this works. I get it. But I also understand by being somebody that has done this, the damage it causes and the things that it does in our lives and the schisms that it puts in our relationships. More frequently, the schisms that it puts into our relationship with God. Because God doesn't listen to complaints. I don't know if you knew that or not, but God does not, well, he listens to them. It's just he does not respond positively to them. So you come to this morning, and you're probably wondering, how do I kick the habit? Well, here's the first question to ask yourself. Did you pray about it? Huh? No, seriously. Before you came forward and you expressed your dissatisfaction, before you did whatever you did to let people know you didn't like it, did you go home and get on your face before God and pray about it?
And I'm not talking about you went home and prayed about the people that need to change. Did you go home and pray, how can I help? Did you go home and ask God, God, am I overreacting? Did you go home and say, do I need to adjust and have good for the body? Did you go home and ask Jesus, how would you do this? Wow. That's what prayer is about? Yeah. I hope you took that out of the 40 days of prayer. If you haven't had this conversation with the complaint department, then why would you come forward with anything? I mean, aren't we supposed to be following God? Aren't we supposed to be Christ followers? Doesn't that mean we follow His lead? Therefore, should we not ask His opinion before I give you mine? See, this goes a lot deeper than the idea of just registering some kind of complaint because I'm unsatisfied. This goes to the health of the body. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 18, Paul writes it this way. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault, in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky and hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. But even if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and the service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoicing with all of you, so that you too should be glad and rejoice with me. There's a lot of words in there, but I want you to see the two attitudes that Paul has asked us to pay attention to. Negative, grumble, argue. That's complaining. You get it? If I'm going to grumble and argue and all I'm trying to do is convince you that it's got to be my way or the highway, then you understand. God called that a complaint. God called it an issue because Paul then goes into this idea of the positive I'm supposed to shine. Y'all remember? In a few years, remember, shine, show our love to others, honor God in our worship, introduce others to Christ, notice the needs of others and meet them, encourage one another to grow. If you're not familiar with those, it's a sermon series that we did a while back where we talked about the idea that we're supposed to shine and hold firm to the word. And in that, I can rejoice. You know, last week I told you the story about the peanut butter, and I had a youth minister that just kind of constantly was after us that, you know what, if you're going to give an excuse, just tell me you're all out of peanut butter. Well, this week, if you have a complainer, let me give you your response to them. Got any grapes? Because you get it, right? If they come to you with a complaint and that's all they've got and they're just looking, all you can say is, got any grapes? Because you do realize then they're going to come back and say, well, got any lemonade? I love the idea that the duck asked about got any glue. Personally, when I took the duck to the grocery store, I might have bought grapes and glue. And here's the end statement here. No more tart lemons or sour grapes. You see, if we are going to grow in our relationships, and this goes just beyond our relationship with God, you can apply this to any relationship across. If the relationship is going to grow, then we can't take everything sour and tart. Yes, there are going to be moments of contention. Yes, there's going to be some accountability. Yes, sometimes there's some correction. Yes, sometimes there's some misunderstanding. That's all called growth. Everybody grows that way. But when we tear each other one another apart and we begin to tear at our relationships simply because I want, I need, I have to, and you get what we're doing, right? We've decided, just like the sign I showed you earlier, the reunite together, where our nation reunited. No, we didn't reunite. We're just continuing the battle. We've just picked a different weapon. We've laid down what we think is our sin, and we've just picked up our voice and said, you know what? I'm not going to do this or that, but you know what? I'm going to let you know that it's not the way that I like it. Long and short, we have to be willing to quit. Now, I do want you to get this idea that this is not just individual steps. I want you to now see how these things linked together. I have to quit making excuses because I have to quit making excuses for myself. Then once I quit making excuses, now I have to quit looking to make everything drive toward me. You understand the idea of I quit is I take the I out of it and I just quit. I stop. So the question becomes today, are you willing to surrender? That little white flag I handed out last week, are you willing to surrender? Are you willing to surrender to the point when it comes to your wants, in which you think you believe, in which you think has always have to be this way? Are you willing to take yourself and put that under the cross also and say, you know what? What I want is not as important as what God wants. What I need is not as important as what God needs me to do. Because the moment you do that, you quit. Complaining is no longer an issue. You're done. The relationship begins to grow. And we begin to heal and move together instead of being in battle and competition with each other. I'm going to ask our worship.